Okay, what we're going to do tonight, something a little bit different, but a little bit the same. Now, for those of you that are listening to this by recording, if you want to pause the recording right now and go get some paper and a pen, I would encourage you to do that because you'll want to participate in here in just a few moments. Everyone has pen and paper, right? The first thing I want you to do on the top line is write this. What three things do you want to know from God? Now, you might have a half dozen, but we're only going to focus on three for the moment. What three things do you want to know from God? Write that on the top line. And then underneath that, on the line underneath that, just put a number one. And then the line underneath that, put a number two. And the line underneath that, put a number three. Now, these three things that you want to know from God, you will be able to write them down on one line. It's not going to take you a paragraph to write three things that you want to know from God. Now, be realistic and don't be silly. You know, did Adam have a belly button? No, that's not important. These three things, it's whatever you want to know, really. It could have to do with the direction that God has for your life, His plan, I mean, whatever it would be. Just what three things do you want to know? And if you write something like, who is the Antichrist, you're not going to get an answer to that one. If you write down, what is the day and the hour of your return, Jesus, you're not going to get an answer to that one. So these things have to be very relative really to you. So take a moment and write down, what three things do you want to know from God? So I'm guessing that by now, you should all be pretty close to having those three things written down. And you know, for some people, you know, it might be, who is my husband or wife, and who will that person be? Well, you're not going to get an answer to that. I mean, well, now wait a minute. You know, it's possible God could give you an answer to that one, but the odds are probably one in a million that you're going to get an answer to that one. In other words, you know, Susie Parker. You know, no, it's probably not going to be anything like that. Because what I have found is that sometimes people get very unrealistic in the things that they're wanting to know from God. I'll give you an example, a variation on the theme, for an example. God, why is there death in the world? Well, your answer is in the Word. The answer is very clear in the Word. God, why are there wars? The answer is in Scripture. It wouldn't take you 15 minutes of reading in Scripture to know why. Because really the answers to all questions like that are found in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. So now, I'm sure that you all have those three things written down. Underneath the line for number three, write this. What three things in you or in your life do you want changed? What three things in you or in your life do you want changed? Now, you're not going to be giving these to me. This is for you. What three things in you or your life do you want changed? Maybe there's an area of your life that you know needs to be corrected. Well, you can put that down. Maybe you're struggling financially. Well, you could put that down. Just what three things in you or in your life do you want changed? And then underneath that, the line underneath, you know, number one, then number two, number three, just like you did before. And write down these three things. And again, be realistic. You know, I want to sprout wings and fly like an angel. No, it's not going to happen. Brother Martin, could we change that one a little bit and put what three things in my spouse do I want to see change? No, this is about you. This is about you. I mean, you could put, you know, it might be, I want to get control of my life so I can spend more time in prayer. It can be anything at all. Underneath, on the next line, write this. What is the last instruction God gave to you about your ministry? What is the last instruction God gave to you about your ministry? Now, for some people, the answer to that might be, and this is not a number one, two, or three. This is just, you know, whatever he has said, whatever instruction he's given you. And for some people, the answer might be very short. Nothing. Or I don't know. And for some folks, you might feel like the answer is going to take you pages to write, but it won't. Because if you feel like the answer to this question is going to take pages to write, then what you're actually doing is approaching it from the perspective of writing the instruction and the details to carrying out the instruction. In other words, an instruction does not take pages. So God might be saying to you, I want you to write a book. So the instruction is, I want you to write a book. Not, I want you to write a book, and the book is supposed to be about, and it's supposed to have X number of chapters. The first chapter is titled this, second chapter titled... You see what I'm talking about? Okay. So it shouldn't take a whole lot of writing to put this instruction down if you know what it is. And if you write, I don't know, I'm not sure, it's okay. The goal is to put something down. Even if you feel like your answer is embarrassing, don't worry about that. Just something. Just make sure you put something down. Now, underneath that, write this. What have you done about that instruction? What have you done about that instruction? Now, this is where you may have to think about some of the details he possibly has given you about that instruction. And this answer will take maybe an extra few lines. Maybe instead of just a one-line, one-sentence answer, this was the instruction, you may have to write two or three sentences to briefly answer what have you done about that instruction. Now, I'll give you a very simple illustration. Someone may say, God has told me the last instruction he gave me about my ministry is that I am to sit on the couch 15 minutes a day in silence. No praying, no worshiping, no reading my Bible, nothing. Just sit 15 minutes a day in silence. And then, what have you done about that instruction? I have been sitting 15 minutes, or I haven't done it yet. See how simple it can be? And if your answer is nothing, then that's okay. Go ahead and put that down. There's no condemnation here, okay? Now the next one, this is going to be a yes or a no. So when you write this, I'm going to read this to you. You can write the question down, and then you're going to answer either yes or no. I guess the answer could be sometimes. When you sit down for a time of prayer, when you sit down for a time of prayer, do you always have a, pen and paper at hand, or are you at your computer? So this is a yes, no, or sometimes a question. This one you don't have to write down unless you want to. This is a food for thought. Relative to the question, when you sit down for a time of prayer, do you always have a pen and paper at hand, or are you at your computer? If your answer was no, or sometimes, do you think this is why you aren't clearly hearing from God? Put another way, how is it in God's benefit to speak to you and give you instructions if you aren't doing anything to accurately retain His words and instructions? How many of you have ever been in a business meeting and the boss was saying, do this, do that, do the other, and you didn't write it down? And 15 minutes later, you're asking somebody else who was at that meeting, what is it we're supposed to do? Or a homework assignment in school. You didn't write it down. and you're calling one of your buddies in class to find out, what pages are we supposed to write? What is it that paper's supposed to be about? Did she say do the odd-numbered problems or the even-numbered problems? So is God wasting his time by speaking to us if we don't take the time to write down what he says? Now for a moment, look over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'll read this again. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Keeping what we just read in mind, look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The verse that goes really hand in hand with what we just read in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, now let's think for a moment. We've seen two places how that the Holy Spirit, well, this word, let me clarify this, where it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration, it comes from a Greek word that means divinely breathed forth by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit spoke, and then these people heard it, and then they would, you know, transfer to others what the Holy Spirit had given to them. So we have two passages, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 1, where it tells us that the Holy Ghost spake to man, and then man conveyed what he spake. But now let's think for just a moment here. What if nobody had written down what the Holy Ghost spoke? What if every one of them trusted their memory to be able to accurately convey to everyone they came in contact with what God had spoken to them? Would we have a Genesis or an Exodus? No. What about Isaiah? Would we have Isaiah? What about Jeremiah? Would you want to be one of those prophets and try to remember some of those things that you'd seen? What about, would we have a book of Revelation where John, trying to describe as best he could things that he didn't know? What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Would we have those four books recording the words of Jesus as he was on the earth? And what about the doctrine of the New Testament that Paul gave us? Would we have that? Can you see how valuable it is to write the things down that the Holy Ghost gives us? Because if that had not been done, we would not have these Bibles today. You say, the thing is, if we didn't have them, we wouldn't know what we were missing. You know what I'm saying? But we would be missing a lot in our life. Well, these people that the Holy Ghost moved on, they wrote what we have as the Old and the New Testament, and thank God for it. In fact, at the end of the Gospel of John, it says that if all the things that Jesus had done and said were written down, the books would fill the earth. So there was a lot that he did which wasn't written down. Now think about it. If you had been a witness and a listener, a hearer of these things that Jesus did and said, would you not have the natural tendency to write it all down? I mean, if you start writing, wouldn't there be a natural tendency to want to write it all down? But the only thing they wrote is what the Holy Ghost told them to write. Think about that. And so they carried with them, the writers, the apostles that traveled with Jesus, they carried with them all of their lives things that are not recorded in Scripture because the Holy Ghost, for whatever reason, just deemed it not necessary that they all be recorded. In other words, God had the Holy Spirit give to us everything that God knew we needed, nothing less, nothing more. It's powerful. Okay, now, if it's that valuable for them to write these things down, how valuable is it for us to write down the specific instructions that God gives us that will enable us to fulfill the general parameters of Christianity described in His Word? Because His Word contains the general parameters which apply to every single Christian. And yet, we also need the specific instructions. Because those specific instructions pertain to His will and His plan for our lives, the calling that He's designed for us. And that will and that calling will always, without question, fit into the structure of the Bible. In other words, God's never going to tell you to do anything that would be outside of, let me say it like this, the rules and regulations of being a Christian, okay? We talked a little bit about what three things do you want to know from God? Now, how do you think you're going to get those answers? The three things that you've written down, I don't know if you've prayed about them or not. But if you haven't, now you have three things to talk to Him about, do you not? What three things in you or in your life do you want changed? Maybe you've talked to Him about these as well, I don't know. But now you have some more things to talk to Him about. And relative just to these three, do you think that it's very important for God to convey to us the answers to these things? What three things do I want changed? Well, not only do I want them changed, but I need to know how to change them. Because if I already knew exactly how to wave the magic wand and change them, they would be changed. Now, would they not? So therefore, I need more instructions about the change in order for me to see the change. Likewise, these three things that I want to know from God, what I can tell you is this, whatever I put down here, whatever three things that I want to know from Him, His answers to me are going to be in line with His perfect will for me. In other words, whatever I ask Him, His answer to me, let's say you and I have the same question, what I want to ask God, His answer to me might be word for word the same answer that He would give to you. However, how it applies to my life and calling is going to be different as it applies to your life and calling. The principle will be the same, but the end result will be different because you and I are both walking different paths. We're headed in different directions. We're arm in arm with each other as the body of Christ. However, the race that we're running is we're each in a different lane of that race. You understand what I mean? And these things that I want changed, there are things that are going to be relative to me being able to fulfill everything that God has called me to fulfill. Same with each of you. And the last instruction that God gave to you about your ministry, if your answer is, I don't know, then my question would be, why is it that you don't know? Now here's what I'm getting at. There's only one person who can give you the instructions for your ministry. And that is the person who has called you to that ministry. Therefore, the one who has called you is the one who has designed it. And it is to his benefit to tell you everything you need to know about that calling. Now, for some people, they may think that they're too old to get started on such a venture as, you know, whatever, this calling of God. Some people may think they're too young. Too young to hear from God. Too young to really know. May I remind you the story of Samuel? How that as a young boy, he heard God speak. And he went to the priest and he said, Eli, why did you call me? What do you want? Eli said, I didn't call you. Well, this went on a few times, and finally Eli figured out Samuel was hearing God call. And Eli said, "Son, the next time that you hear this voice calling you, here's what I want you to do. Say, 'Speak, Lord, Lord, for your servant hears you.'" And so he did. So God began to speak to Samuel when Samuel was a very young boy. And here's the thing. Samuel wasn't even born again. Think about that. And yet God spoke to him. And look at what happened in his life, because he tuned in as best he could to the voice of God at a young age. He became, what, two books in the Bible are named after him. He became one of the most renowned spokespersons for God in all of Scripture. He's the man that God used to anoint David to be the king of Israel, whose throne would never end. Think about this. It started when he was young. This is why it doesn't matter what your age is. You can hear from God, and whatever he speaks to you, he's speaking it to you because he knows you can do what he's called you to do. No matter how old or how young. The last instruction that he gave you, you say, "Well, I don't remember what it was." Ask him, because I'll guarantee you he hasn't forgotten. Ask him, "God, what was your last instruction to me?" And if he comes back and answers with a question, "Why should I tell you again you didn't do it last time?" It's not because he's being a smart aleck. He's wanting to dialogue with you. And your answer should be something like, "I blew it last time. I was disobedient. I didn't act on it. I'd like to know again, please. And this time, I'm going to write it down." And you write down the instruction that he gives you, no matter what it is. And again, the illustration I gave, if it's something so simple as just sit 15 minutes a day in silence, no worship, no prayer, no Bible reading, no TV, nothing, just sit in silence for 15 minutes a day. You say, "Well, why would he tell me to do that?" Because he's wanting to train you patience in waiting on him. That's why. That's a reason why. When you sit down for the time of prayer, do you always have a pen and paper at hand, or are you at your computer? Quite frankly, this is the most critical thing you could do in prayer. Because think of it like this. If you're going to prayer just to bellyache to God, you don't need anything to write with, all right? Because all you're going to do is sit there and tell him how bad everything is and ask him why he's not doing anything, and you're going to say, "In Jesus' name, amen," and get up and walk away. But if you want to have a discourse with him, and you want to tell him what you think and what you want to know and what you feel, and then get answers from him, he'll speak to you. Now, sometimes he may speak to you about some things that you're not asking. I mean, you know, you can go to him and, "Oh, God. We need some money, we need some money, we need some money." And you may need money. He may say, "Now next week when you're at church, here's what I want you to do." And you say, "Wait a minute, God, we're talking about money." He says, "No, you're talking about money. I'm talking about the most important thing in your life right now." "So am I, God." He's going to say, "We have different perspectives, don't we?" So you can go to him and you can talk about a whole lot of things. And if he starts talking to you about something totally unrelated, catch on that what he is saying to you right now is the most important thing in your life, in all of eternity, that you need to hear at this moment. And that's why it's so important to keep something handy to write on. Whenever I'm in a service with someone and they're preaching, I'm not a note taker. Some people take notes during sermons. I'm just not like that. What I'll do is try to get a recording of it and listen alone, away, apart, and take notes separately. You know, pray in the Spirit, follow along in Scripture and so forth. Do it like that. But if I'm writing during a sermon, it's because I'm hearing something on the inside. And it may be something God wants me to preach on later on down the road, or I don't know. Or he may start speaking to me in the middle of a sermon about an instruction for me relative to my calling. But I try to keep something handy even when I'm in a sermon so I can write it down. A piece of paper in my... Because see, even if it's just a scrap, a piece of paper, I can always transfer it to my computer later on, which is what I usually do. We would not have Scripture if it weren't for people following this principle. What three things do you want to know from God? If you want answers to those three things, it's best that you are ready to write down and document the answers. If you're not, there's a good chance you won't get the answers. Because you may ask a one-sentence question, and God may give you three pages of answer to that one-sentence question. Because in your mind, you're thinking the answer is very simple. But God is looking at this from a whole different perspective, and he's saying, I can't just give you two sentences to answer this. It's more complicated than that. You don't realize it. So sit tight and listen. And write this down. And there have been times in my life when God has been speaking to me, you know, during a time of prayer. And I'm not at my computer, but I'm writing. And I've actually, like once, maybe twice, but once I remember for sure, I actually asked him, you know, can you slow down just a second? Just, you know, hold on here a second. Let me get all this written down. And he'd stop, and I'd catch up, and then he'd kind of go at my handwriting pace. I mean, my handwriting is bad enough, guys, okay? But when I can't read what I write, then it's really bad. But if you want answers, these three things, and these are things that you should want to sit down and pray about, now that you've written them down, you want these answers. God will give you answers. The three things that you want changed, you tell God about it, and he may start giving you some instructions about the change and how it's going to come about. You may be approaching it from the east, but he wants you to approach it from the west because that's the way it'll change. Okay? And the last instruction that he's given to you about your ministry, you know, it's possible you've never heard anything from God. Now, if you're spending any time at all praying in the Spirit, I can tell you that God has not been silent. The problem is more like you haven't been hearing. And this was something that I didn't understand for years. I was born again, I was Spirit-filled, but I didn't understand about praying in the Spirit and God speaking to me and writing it down. So, I would pray, but not really expect an answer. Because I wasn't really sure what I was expecting. And I didn't know to really expect anything. I mean, I'd heard preachers talk about, God spoke to me. And I'm thinking, wow, that is so cool. When's it my turn? So I didn't understand that. And then I began to realize, you know what? He does want to speak, but it's up to me to be ready to hear. I mean, another illustration we talked about, you know, being in school and so forth. I mean, how many times as you were growing up, or even as a parent today, you know, with your own kids, do you go to the store to buy school supplies before school starts? I can remember, man, I could never get my mom to buy me the 64 crayon box of Crayolas. You know, that had the little crayon sharpener in the back of the box. Listen, if you had one of those, buddy, you were it. All right? You were like the coolest in school. And I wanted, what'd I get? You know, like this little 16 Crayola. You know, get your crayons out. And I'm like half embarrassed to pull mine out. And these other kids, boom, they got, look at it, 64 colors, man. Look at that. More than the rainbow. What do you have? 16? I'll tell you what I did. It was later on in life. When I had some money. By golly, I went and I bought me a 64 crayon box of Crayolas. I had one. Took it to the class reunion. Hallelujah. I finally got it. No, I didn't really do that. But you went and you bought the school supplies and you take your kids and you know they're always asking, I have this, can I, whatever's popular, that's the kind of pen or pencil or notepad they want. Okay? And sometimes you get it, sometimes you have to tell them no. But you why now, why do you do this? Why do you buy those supplies? Because you know they're going to need them when they go to school. And when they're getting, especially if they're younger kids and it's the first day of school, what do you ask them? Now, do you have your paper or do you have your crayons? Do you have your scissors, you know, your little blunt tip scissors and all? I mean, you ask them, don't you, if they have all their stuff. Now, are you sure? And you might even go over and look in the book bag to see if they've got everything to make sure that when they get to class, they're ready. Yet when we go into the classroom of the teacher of teachers and we don't have our school supplies, why should he say much? Now, I'm not saying he won't, but I'm telling you right now, the majority of what he says, you'll forget. And that's why even if you don't want to take the time to write it out during the time of prayer, you can at least have a little recorder to speak into it. But for me, when I'm going to have that time of prayer, I want the paper and the pen, or I want to be at my computer so that I can keep praying while he's speaking and I'm documenting. Because that's how I will get the answers to the three things that I want to know from God. That's how I'll get the answers from God about how to make the changes that he wants me to make. That's how I will get the next instruction on my ministry. And here's the thing. If I've just received, you know, instruction number 5, I better do something about instruction number 5 if I expect to ever hear instruction number 6. Okay, God, what's the next thing? He said, whoa, hold on here. I can't tell you what number 6 is until you do number 5, because doing number 6 is contingent on number 5 being completed. Oh, in other words, don't get out of order. God wants to speak to every single person here and everybody listening to this. He wants to speak to you and he wants to give you the answers. He wants you to know these things. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. And if you're a grandparent, a parent, you know, you're listening to this, I would encourage you that if you are encouraging your kids to pray or your grandkids, whatever, I mean, however you do it, encourage them also to make sure they've got something to write with, or if they use a computer, to use a computer. I mean, listen, if little boy Samuel could hear from God, you don't know what God might speak to a 4 or 5-year-old child today. You don't think they can hear from God? You better believe they can. And so if you begin encouraging, you know, train up a child the way it should go. If you begin encouraging your children to do this now, it can become a pattern of behavior in their life to where they become very accustomed to hearing God speak to them. And it's very possible that your 8-year-old could hear something from God that applies to you. Something you've been wanting to hear from God, yet for whatever reason, it's just not coming through. And, you know, here comes little Johnny. Mommy, I was praying and, well, you know, half the words are spelled wrong, but he's got the message. You know, Mommy, God said, summa, blah, blah, blah. Can I have a cookie? Kids aren't very deep, very long. You know what I'm saying? You stand there with your jaw dropped, your eyes as big as saucers. Like, you heard that from God? Yeah. And some milk too, please. God can speak to your kids. And all this tonight, what we're doing, everything you wrote down, it's for your benefit to stimulate interaction between you and God. Because now think with me for a moment here. How many times, think of your past, your church past, each of us now. How many times in our church past did we ever have a service where we were told to do things like this? See what I mean? And some folks might say, well, that wasn't much preaching. I mean, you know what? You'll get more out of these kind of instructions than you will listening to me preach for a month of Sundays. Because this will, like I said, hopefully motivate and stimulate interaction between you and God. That's why sometimes we have services like this. That's why sometimes in the past, and we'll do this again in the future, we'll have those services where we just take like 15 minutes and you pray in the Spirit and write down what God gives you. Because this is all a part of training to fulfill the call of God. And there are elements of the training that many churches miss. And I'm not trying to be mean toward any other churches or pastors. I'm just saying, you know, these are things that don't go on much. And they should go on. Because it's a part of help. And I need this. This is not just, you know, I'm not exempt because I'm saying it. I need it too. I need to do these things. And I want to encourage you tonight. It doesn't matter how old you are or how much you don't think you can hear from God. God wants to speak to you, and He wants to answer your prayers, and He wants to give you instructions about your ministry and about your calling. He wants to do this in your life. And these things that we're talking about tonight, it's just another angle at things we've heard, but it's to encourage you to know that God will interact with you, and He'll speak to you. And I'm telling you, at times, He'll speak so clearly, it'll be like He's right there in the room with you. It'll be just like you're carrying on a conversation with Him. If you begin to practice these things and give Him the chance, I'm telling you, He'll show up. And boy, when He does, you get excited. And you begin to think, wow, there's something to this prayer stuff after all. It's pretty cool. So, take this home with you, what you've written down. You can keep the pens. Hallelujah. You might need them when God begins to speak. Praise the Lord. But take this home with you. And even tonight. But if not tonight, soon. Spend time in prayer with God about these things that you've written down. Because it could be that everything you've written down here is something that the Holy Spirit has been whispering to you. And that's why it's at the forefront of your mind. And God's ready to speak to you about all of these things. Now let me throw this out. He may not say anything to you during that time of prayer. He may just want you praying. And that's okay. Because there are going to be times of prayer where God won't say anything. He just wants you to pray. He just wants you to be in His presence. Come prepared to hear from God if He starts to speak to you.